to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, coming up in this hour variety. Later on, it's Paul Whiteman Presents from 1943. But first, a broadcast of The Tommy Dorsey Show, heard on NBC on August 4th, 1945.
This is Tommy Dorsey with another Sunday evening rig featuring Stuart Foster and the Sentimentalists, Buddy Rich, Charlie Shavers, and the rest of the members of the Dorsey Clabiash and Pinocchio Club. Our guest this PM is the lovely star of 20th Century Fox Pictures, the lush cherry blonde, Vivian Blaine.
Goodness, Tommy, do you always use those honeyed phrases when you talk?
Only when talking to a honey.
Oh, love that flattery. Tell me more.
Well, since we're getting along so well, how's about you and me cutting out on a tour of the night spot some not-too-distant moonlight?
Well, you'll have to see my agent about that.
Your agent? What's he got to do with your social engagements?
Plenty. He's my husband.
So your husband's your agent. A lucky fellow. He must love his work.
He says he does.
All this and 10%. Did he... Did he put you in pictures?
No, Tommy. I was singing in a nightclub when a studio scout saw me and signed me. After my first picture, the studio tore up my contract.
After my first picture, they tore up my contract, too.
They gave me a better contract.
They gave me confetti.
I saw your last picture, Tommy, and after the show, my husband said, "Now that's the way a trombone should sound."
How do you like the way I spoke my lines?
That's what he was referring to.
Well, before this gets around, I better grab that trombone and slide the boys over to the sunny side of the street. We'll pick the Sentimentalists up en route. A couple of years ago, Waller Donaldson and Mort Green tapped out a tune that has taken a little while to catch on. It's a bucolic ballad named Nevada. We dug a disc of it recently, and we think you'll be hearing a lot of Nevada in the next few months. Heck, we hope so. This treatment of ours features Stuart Foster. Take it from there, Stuart.
Yes, sir, in just a moment. Miss Blaine, I was wondering, if I gave you a picture of me, would you give me one of you?
Would you like a full-length picture of me, Stuart?
No, just a big picture of your face.
And to think I told him all I know about women.
Maybe he needs a more sophisticated instructor, Tommy. Have you ever read any of Noel Coward's plays, Stuart?
Noel Coward, dear girl? You prefer sophistication, eh? Well, I'll have you know, dear, dear Noel and I are kinsprits. Pip-pip and all that sort of rot. A chitty-o.
Now that's the kind of man I could really learn to love.
Chitty, uh-oh. What say to a spot dinner, a pipkin of port, and a joint of lamb at some secluded joint?
Delighted.
Plaza?
Jolly. Champagne?
Rather.
Caviar?
Rather.
Rest of guinea hen?
Rather.
Rather.
Rather have hamburger.
Rather hear you sing Nevada.
That was wonderful, Stuart. You know, next to Dick Haynes, you're my favorite singer.
Thank you, Miss Blaine. Next to Betty Grable,
Well, go on, Stuart.
Don't rush me. I like it here next to Betty Grable.
Well, move over. You're on Harry James's lap.
Stuart seems a bit starstruck, Tommy.
Yeah, he's been struck several times by him. He's quite a Flicker fan, too. I took him to see you in your new Technicolor picture, Nob Hill, the other day.
Speaking of Nob Hill, Tommy, I went to San Francisco for the premiere of the picture. I had a wonderful time. I took a trip around the bay, saw the Golden Gate.
Nice theater. We played there once.
Tommy, I'm talking about the seaway to San Francisco Bay. Did you know that historians believe Sir Francis Drake may have entered the bay as early as 1579 on the Pelican?
Couldn't he afford a ship?
The Pelican was the name of his ship. He later renamed it the Golden Hind.
The Golden Hind. What a beautiful name.
For a ship.
For a ham.
The Golden Hind. Can't you just see that little ship entering the bay?
1579 BD, before Dorsey. A tiny ship, captained by Sir Francis Drake, approaches the entrance to San Francisco Bay. It is a glorious spring evening. The setting sun plays its golden rays on the distant headlands. Inspired by this beautiful sight, Sir Francis Drake turns to a seaman and exclaims,
I say, it's golden! Gate.
Sir Francis Drake becomes the first Englishman to set foot in the waters of the Pacific. Conscious of his destiny as he wades ashore, he utters these immortal words.
Brrr, it's cold.
Welcome to San Francisco, me, Indian Princess.
I'm Sir Francis Drake, the Navigator.
Hiya, Gator.
I say, a hep Indian.
Reet. Listen. Hear Indian love call.
Indian love call?
Yes. Chief calling super chief.
Ah, senor. You just arrived on the ship, no?
I say, how did you find out? I told my men to hide my ship beyond yonder island.
Then pardon me, senor, but your ship is showing.
Who is this character, Princess?
He's Spanish explorer, Hernando de Foster de Soto.
My country is at war with Spain. In the name of England, I take you prisoner.
Release me. Release me. I am the great de Soto.
Sorry, old boy, but they're not releasing any de Sotos this year.
For 2.5 centuries, San Francisco was a sleepy pueblo. On busy days, you could walk about the city and hear... Then the city was awakened. A new era is born, and everywhere is heard the cry,
gold, gold, gold. Hiya, Vivian Gale. Looking for somebody?
Don't bother me. I'm looking for a handsome man.
Well, I ain't had time to purdy up. Been up in the hills. Been up in the hills digging gold, and I'm loaded with it.
Well, hello. Handsome.
Well, that's more like it. I'm in town for a spree. My coat pockets are full of gold, and my pants pockets are full of gold. What would you like to do?
Turn you upside down.
In 1906, San Francisco is a great and thriving metropolis. In fact, business is so good, Metropolis opened a restaurant on the glittering Barbary Coast. There, nightly, beautiful Vi Blaine can be heard singing.
I have many, many beaux from whom I can't escape. Some admire my turned-up nose, some my lovely shape. Oh, my name is Kate. I'm from the Golden Gate, way out on San Francisco Bay. And I gave my heart away on a dreamy summer day. Then we went canoeing and we did our wooing as we watched the seals at play. On the golden strand, he won my hand on San Francisco Bay. Did you like that, broad and beamy?
Beautiful, Vi, you're wonderful. In fact, I love my wife, but oh, you kid.
Go away, chicken inspector. What do you like best about my singing?
What did you call me?
I called you chicken inspector, and I want to know what you like best about my singing.
Them purple tights you're wearing.
Why, I'll have you know that they're the latest 1906 fashion.
Well, how about a kiss, a real modern 1906 kiss?
Okay.
Wow. Baby, you sure can dish it out. Knocked me right out of my chair with that kiss.
That wasn't no kiss. That was an earthquake.
Thus we come to San Francisco today, a busy modern city. How changed. San Francisco 1906 had plenty of room, no hotels. San Francisco 1945 has plenty of hotels, no rooms. And not far from the place where Sir Francis Drake first set foot on the shore of San Francisco Bay stands a great, mighty shipyard where works Vivian the Velder and her foreman, Muscles O'Dorsey.
Vivian, my little Colleen, it's proud I am to be giving you this award. You've won it fair and square, and you well deserve it. It's the Army and the Navy E.
Because I got efficiency?
Because you've got everything.
And you ain't getting none of it.
Now, how can you be talking that way, Miss Vernon? Surely you know how I feel about you. Ah, me little welder, would you be giving me a kiss?
Well, I can't say no to the boss. Here's your kiss.
You should have taken off your welder's mask.
You know, Muscles, I've been working pretty hard. Don't you think I'm ready for a promotion?
Well, now, if you're real nice to me, I could fix it. I've got plenty of drag.
Yeah. Why don't you reduce?
I beg your pardon. I'm Stuart Grosvenor DeFoster. My pater owns this plant. In fact, he planted it. In fact, he founded it the year I was born.
You want to read that one over, Stuart?
Quiet, my good man. I'll have you transferred to one of our other plants. In fact, I'll have you transplanted.
Oh, is that so? You see this hand?
Are all your hands so hairy?
Why, I'll be blackening your eyes with it.
What's that?
That's the new whistle they installed in the plant today.
Well, what does it mean?
Sure, it means it's time for the swing shift to be taken over. Listen, here they come now.
Is aboard for this one. It's a little thing tab. Don't stop now.
Thank you.
Song of India.
The Tommy Dorsey Show on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from August 4th, 1945. A relatively rare episode, as many materials for the war effort were being used and contributed by the country over, including radio stations, who didn't save much in terms of tape or transcription discs. And speaking of which, 10 days after that broadcast, victory in Europe would be declared. This is an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Paul Whiteman Presents with special guest Bob Burns, inventor of the bazooka, the musical instrument, an NBC episode from July 11th, 1943.
Orchestra and chorus, our guest Bob Burns, yours truly Bill Goodwin, and starring Dinah Shore.
Good evening, everybody. Hiya, Pop.
Hiya, Dinah. What's that big, beautiful smile for?
Well, happiness is the doctor's prescription for the day, so let's all get happy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, all you sinners. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're
we're heading across the river, wash your friends away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Get troubled, just get happy. Better stay strong, tears away. Hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins on the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Get troubles, just get happy. Better chase all your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Judgment Day. Ah, wonderful, Dinah. Very fine. And you know, Dinah, I think we should all get happy. As Marcus Antonius said, no man is happy who does not think himself so. Oh, pardon me.
What's the matter, Bill? You got the hiccups?
Well, let us say, rather, that I have a recurrent spasmodic inspiration of the pulmonary diaphragm accompanied by intermittent agitation of the epiglottis.
Well, maybe you need something to scare him away. You know, a good shock.
Well, all right. I tell you, I'll turn the other way, and when I'm not looking, you run up behind me and throw your arms around me, huh?
You think that'll cure your hiccups?
No, but it's a swell idea.
Hiya, Billy boy. Got the hiccups?
Oh, well, let us say, rather, he has St. Vitus dance with sound effects.
Oh, gosh, it's awful, Paul. Every time I get the hiccups, it shakes my whole inside.
Oh, that's nothing, son. When I get the hiccups, it shakes the whole building.
Sometimes hiccups aren't such a bad thing to have.
Yeah?
You know, it was the fellow with the hiccups who invented the conga.
Oh, so? How was that, Dinah?
Well, this fellow was doing an old-fashioned rub.
Uh-huh.
You know, one, two, three, one, two, three. And all of a sudden, he got the hiccups. One, two, three, one, two, three, conga.
Well, listen, that's not curing my hiccups.
Well, you know, the best way is to try holding your breath. Come on, Bill, inhale.
Well, all right.
Now hold it. Pop, what do we do if this doesn't work?
I had an uncle who always took a good long drink.
Is that the way he got rid of the hiccups?
No, come to think of it, that's the way he got them. Look at Bill. He's turning a beautiful shade of purple.
Oh, that's all right. When he turns green, he's cured.
What's going on around here? I've had just about enough of this.
Oh, now, don't get excited, Bill. You're probably all over the hiccups.
You really think so?
Sure. Go ahead and say something and find out.
What'll I say?
Well, the first thing that comes to your mind.
Well, let's see. Oh, yes, I've got it. Ladies and gentlemen, the new, more lenient coffee rationing couldn't come at a better time, could it? Coffee stamp number 21 in Ration Book 1 is good right now, just when everybody's going for ice chasing Sanborn coffee. Darn it, there they go again.
Oh, I tell you what you do, Bill. You go over to the cooler and take 10 gulps of water, then sit down quietly while Paul and the orchestra and chorus do a very wonderful arrangement of In the Blue of Evening.
Back in the days when Broadway was the Great White Way and Paul Whiteman was holding forth at the famous Palais Royal, an Arkansas lad named Bob Burns applied for a job with the band. He was wearing a yellow suit, high button shoes, a straw hat, and carrying a red and purple carpet bag under one arm and his bazooka under the other. When he walked in, Paul looked at him and said,
"I don't believe it."
This same Bob Burns is with us this evening, not in the role of the suave radio and movie star you know so well, but as an alumnus of the Whiteman Orchestra and the man whose bazooka has given a name to the United States Army's newest tank destroyer. Bob Burns, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Bill. It sure is nice to hear someone else say that I'm a Paul Whiteman alumni, because when I say it myself, people think I'm bragging. But, you know, you're right, Bill, about me meeting Paul at the Palais Royal. But it wasn't until 15 years later on the Kraft Music Hall when I finally got to play with the Whiteman Band. Ain't that right, Paul?
That's right, Bob, but it wasn't my fault. The first time I saw you, offered you a job in the brass section.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't see no future in polishing spittoons.
Bob, tell me, has Pop changed much since the good old days?
Oh, yeah, Dinah. You know, when I walked in here today, I couldn't get over how much better Paul looks now. You know, he used to be a little on the heavy side.
You mean he was heavier than he is now?
Oh, yeah.
Gee, that's kind of hard to believe, Bob. When he gets a shoe shine now, he has to take the bootblack's word for it.
Yeah, Dinah, but in the old days, I remember one time I went with Paul when he went down to order a new pair of pants. You know, it took two tailors 3 weeks to measure it. And then the tailors never met each other.
Oh, Bob.
Why, it's the truth, Dinah. Honestly, now, of course, Paul didn't realize how big he was in them days because he was always bigger than other people. And it's the truth. Even when he was a little baby, I talked to an old man that said he remembered Paul when he was just a little baby. He says many a time he's seen Paul in his baby carriage being pushed along by his mother and father and a few of the neighbors. And it never dawned on Paul just how big and how fat, you don't like it, but how fat he was, until finally one day he discovered that he was 2 inches taller sitting down than when he stood up. Of course, I will say this. Paul Whiteman needs a big frame to carry that heart of his around. He'll never know. He don't know to this day what he's done for me and for my kinfolk. Because my folks is awful poor. And when I was down in Arkansas, before I went up to New York and met Paul, I was living with my Uncle Slug and my Aunt Puny. Uncle Slug, that's my drinking uncle. And I want to tell you that we went for days and we never saw any meat. And us kids, we used to fight about which one would get the greasy end of the cornbread. And finally, one day, Uncle Slug went to town to see if he couldn't get some supplies. And we waited for him and he didn't come back. And we got so hungry. And I want to tell you, Aunt Puny's old heart was as heavy as a bucket of hog liver. Finally, on the third morning, some of the children come running up to Aunt Puny and they says, "Mama, we just saw Papa. He's been drinking again." And Aunt Puny says, "Where is he at?" And the children said, "Well, he's down there at the pond and he's laying half in and half out of the pond." And they says, "His boots are full of catfish." Aunt Puny says, "Well, go down and pull your paw out and get the catfish out of his boots and set him again." You know, we tried everything we knew to break Uncle Slug of that drinking habit. And finally, we figured if we could get something to take his mind off of that terrible liquor, it might help him. So we went into town and we bought a radio because we knew Uncle Slug had never seen or heard a radio in his life. I'll never forget that night that we come back up there. It was after dark when we reached the house and we looked in the window and there sat Uncle Slug in there sitting in a chair leaning back against the wall. And he was kind of numb. And we put this radio up. We put this radio up out on the porch and we turned it on. And whose voice do you think was coming out of that radio right there? Another alumni, Bing Crosby. He was singing. And at first, Uncle Slug just kind of twitched a little bit. And then as Bing's voice rose and came in over the night air and came drifting in through the window, Uncle Slug kind of stiffened and he jumped out of his chair and he come running out on the porch. He says, "Come on, boys, get your guns and follow me. Old Ring Street something." Now, Paul, just to show... just to show you now that you can carry sentiment a little bit too far, tonight I'd like to play a medley. I'd like to play three numbers. Three numbers, Bob? Three numbers. Because I want you to understand that playing three whole numbers is kind of tough on the bazooka.
Tough on a bazooka? It'll be tough on the whole country.
Well, now, I've improved a whole lot since I used to play with you, Paul. Now, look, I want you to listen to me now. I want you to listen to me play this little archipelago. Yeah, archipelago. Now, look here. Just think, Paul, I never took a lesson in my life. It's the truth. I learned to play this thing and never put out a cent.
Brother, you're putting what out now?
Yeah, you pretty near put that out. Tell you, I've changed my mind tonight. Instead of playing three numbers, I'd like to just kind of concentrate on a number that we used to play so well together in the old days, that number called Smile. And tonight I'm going to do this thing a little different. I'm going to dedicate this number to the married men of this country. I'd just like to know how many married men we got right here tonight in the audience. Will all you married men hold your hand up? Come on now, don't be bashful. Boy, you're married, all right. I never saw so many dishpan hands in my life. Well, I'm ready when you are with Smiles.
Playing the bazooka?
Well, I think so. Why?
The air raid warden just called. He wants to know if it's okay to sound the all clear.
Well, you just tell him it's okay. Meanwhile, I think we all need something to soothe and alleviate the ears. So you go ahead with all or nothing at all.
If it's love, there is no in between.
skin than cried for something that might have been. No, I'd rather have nothing at all. But
summer, conversation turns on this subject time after time. How to get the most delicious flavor possible in every glass of iced tea? Well, it's an annual problem unless you know how to get finer hot tea in the first place. They go together, after all, and the answer is Tenderleaf brand tea. And now, stand ashore.
Ladies and gentlemen, all of us who are wage earners in the United States go on a current basis as taxpayers starting this month. The money we pay as taxes for the purpose of maintaining our democratic government and winning the war is to be collected henceforth from our weekly paychecks. From now on, none of us will be in debt to our government. The new system eliminates the old March 15th bugaboo. Under this pay-as-you-go plan, our taxes are no higher, but the method is in the American manner and has been adopted for us as a people by our representatives in Congress. Now, each of us know much better where we stand financially, and we can budget ourselves without the old worry of how can we pay our taxes. And because our taxes are no higher, we can continue, and in many cases, increase our purchase of war bonds. War bonds, as we all know, will mean a shorter war and an assured victory, in the kind of a world that we all want when the victory is won.
When Rodgers and Hart write something, it's next to the last word in music. When Dinah Shore and the Whiteman Orchestra sing and play it, the last word is definitely added. Here are three of their top tunes by Dinah and the orchestra and chorus.
Sublime it was too. I didn't know what day
say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be mad, to be young, to be you alone. Grand to see your face, see your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own.
Special guest will be Lou Holtz. The visiting member of the Whiteman Alumni Association will be Jack Teagarden. Meanwhile, when it's coffee you're buying, ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. When it's tea, Tenderleaf brand tea. Chase and Sanborn coffee, Tenderleaf tea, two favorites for days like these. Ask your grocer from both. This is Bill Goodwin saying goodnight from Hollywood Radio City. Night.
Paul Whiteman presents Untuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 11th of July, 1943. And that brings to a close this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.